Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Friday the 13th. This is Raven. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Paradigm Radio. And we will be joined now by my co-star, the rock star herself, Jessica Lee.
Did you like
Jessica?
That? I played that all by myself.
You go, girl.
I know, I'm
you
getting
go, girl.
Better, right?
Yeah, you are. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm pretty excited about the show tonight. I know you were telling me before we went on air that one of your kids is sick.
Yeah, they're not feeling very well, so I'm going to back out
early
this evening.
Well, that's fine. We understand. All of us, you know, a lot of us have kids. We know how that is. I had two. I know quite well how it is when little ones are sick. So we certainly hope they get to feeling better.
Thank you.
So, what have you got for us on the list of the weird tonight?
News of the weird. Weird superstitions.
Oh, cool. Being Friday the 13th and all, how appropriate.
Let's see. Never turn a loaf of bread upside down after cutting a slice.
Okay.
Never
odd,
take,
but we'll work with it.
Yeah. Never take a broom with you when you move. Throw it away and buy a new one.
Okay.
An acorn on the windowsill will keep lightning out.
Now, that one I have heard. That dates back to the Vikings, because they considered Thor one of their gods, and since he was the god that dealt with the anvil and the hammer and the god of lightning, since oak trees got struck so much, they figured that the acorns were always safe, so they thought it was a favorite of Thor, so they would put the acorns on their windowsill to keep lightning away.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got a horseshoe hung in the bedroom will keep nightmares away. Now, I've heard of, what do you call those things, dream catchers, but I did not know about horseshoes.
Right. I had never heard that about horseshoes either.
Catch a fallen leaf on the first day of autumn, and you will not catch cold all winter.
Hey, I'm going to try that one next year.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to run around under the tree for hours, catching every leaf I can.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
If
catch some for your kids, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have them. No, they're going to catch their own. If a mirror in the house falls and breaks by itself, someone in the house will die.
Oh, now that's kind of creepy. There are a lot of superstitions about mirrors. Supposedly, if you break a mirror, it's 7 years bad luck. But in Ireland, they say as long as you keep a shard of the mirror and use it, that there's no bad luck involved. Other things will tell you to bury all the pieces of a broken mirror to get rid of the bad luck. So, go figure.
Don't sweep your feet with a broom. You'll go to jail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I honestly have never heard that one. I've heard don't sweep under.
I have seen people spit on brooms because their feet were accidentally swept with them.
Yeah. I've heard don't let someone sweep under your feet or you'll never get married. But, you know, I tried that myself, but it didn't work.
Easy now, that's on down the list. You're giving my news away.
Sorry.
When someone is dying, all mirrors in the house should be covered.
Right. They believe the spirits would see themselves in the mirror and become trapped.
Well,
sure enough, and become earthbound.
Let's see. Bad luck to light three cigarettes with the same match.
Now that one, I know where that one comes from too. That there's some debate about whether it was the Civil War, World War One, the Korean War, what. But basically, I guess there was three soldiers that did this, and there were snipers or sharpshooters. And the first soldier lit the match, lit a cigarette, gave the sniper time to sight them. The second one lit his, gave him time to aim. And, of course, when the third soldier lit his, boom. So I guess that would be bad luck. And supposedly the military today still says, you know, don't do that. So there must be something to it.
Wow. When a hearse passes, hold a button.
Yeah, that was something my mother said, but I don't know why.
If a clock hasn't been working, if a clock that hasn't been working suddenly chimes, there will be a death in the family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Never rock.
I'd be throwing that clock out.
Yeah, no joke. Never rock an empty rocking chair. Someone will die.
Hmm.
A cat born in May will be a poor mouser. I thought that
was. I can attest to that.
When a cat sneezes three times indoors, it will rain within 24 hours.
Hmm. I'll watch for that.
Okay. Don't toss a hat on the bed. It's supposed to be bad luck.
I've heard that. Don't know the meaning behind that one either.
Okay, I've like wrote some sloppy notes here. If an owl hoots outside the window for 7 nights, someone will die.
Now that one, my daddy was a firm believer. He was Italian. I don't know if it's Italian. I don't know if it's just an old wives' tale. But my daddy, if he heard a hoot owl outside at night, he would literally go outside and throw rocks at the trees, trying to get it to go away. That's how much he believed. You know, a lot of Italian people, are, especially from the old country, are very superstitious. And he definitely believed in that one.
And last, but certainly not least, no new shoes on the table because someone will die.
Wow. Okay. I don't know. I've probably had some new shoes on the table a time or two, and we're all still kicking. So
yeah.
It makes you wonder if the superstitions are more power of suggestion or what, you know? If you believe it. You do know why the Friday the 13th is unlucky, don't you?
No.
That was supposedly the dates that the Knights Templar were all massacred.
Really?
I guess the church or the king, ordered them to be massacred, and it was on a Friday the 13th, and that's why that day is considered to be unlucky.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have to read about that.
Yep, sure is. Well, you know something? I was just over on our website, ParadigmX.Ning.com, and we've had quite a few new members. We've had almost 1,000 hits on our website just in, 2.5 weeks that it's been up? We've gotten a lot of positive feedback. We're adding new members all the time. We'll have a cryptozoologist over there soon. We have UFO researchers. We have ghost hunters. Speaking of the website, I want to say thank you so very much to Rick Hart for creating our header banner and doing our banner ads and stuff like that. And also thank you to Jonathan Wood over at mypara.net. He added our banner ad over there on his site. And also, if you download the toolbar at MyPara, mypara.net, if you download that toolbar, our show is in the radio selection up there. So, you know, that was really cool of him to add us to his toolbar as well. So we thank him as well.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you haven't registered at our site, drop by our site, check it out, register, make yourself a profile, and check out my profile. I want everybody out there to check out my profile. First off, you have to invite me as a friend because I'm not good at all that, okay? If you invite me, I'll approve you. We'll go from there. Second off, of course, my favorite song, Waiting on the Aliens. Love the song. Well, now I have a Waiting on the Aliens background.
Super That's right.
Cool. I want everybody to drop by there and check it out.
Yep. I noticed that. I love your background. It suits you quite well.
It rocks, man. It rocks.
Yeah, definitely drop by and check out our site. Once again, the address is http:// Paradigm X, PARADIGMX dot Ning, NING dot com. There is a link on the show page. Just look there. It's right there by my MySpace link. Just look for it. And if there's anybody in the chat room, I don't have it up right now, but if there's anybody in there, if you want to type out the link, that would be very helpful. Anybody in chat that would care to moderate for me tonight, that would be great, because I really can't do 15 things at the same time. Rebecca Ann is in chat. Rick Hart's in chat. Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Rick. Wow, they're in there talking about superstitions. Cool. Well, we're glad to have you all. Thanks for joining us. You know, we got quite a few people in chat. All the people in chat, we'll give you a shout-out here. Who have you got shout-outs for tonight, Jessica?
Well, of course, I want to say hello to Ron Nussbeck and remind him that the time is ticking. I'm going to send him a message this week, but hopefully he'll be back on our show soon. He promised us within 60 days. So
that's right.
Hopefully that's going to be soon. Also, for all the ghost hunting groups and everybody that's out there, send me a T-shirt. I will wear your T-shirt and give you a shout-out on the show. And when the Paradigm shows are done, they will be for sale on our network site, so y'all keep looking for those. And anybody that mails me one from their group, I will send them a Paradigm shirt for free.
Hey, all right. So, yeah, you're making us up some Paradigm shirts, aren't you?
Oh, we're working on that one, girl.
All right. Well, I can't wait. That ought to be pretty cool.
So anybody out there that's got them, I want one.
Okay, yeah, send Jessica a T-shirt, and we will plug your group and your website on the show for free. How's that sound?
That sounds like a
fair trade to me. All right. Let's see. Tonight, our guests, we're going to have a very special show tonight. Being Friday the 13th, I thought it would be a perfect time to delve into a discussion on Wicca and paganism. And we are actually going to be joined by a high priestess and a high priest of Coven Oldenwild from the Salem of the South, Asheville, North Carolina. And they're going to tell us a little bit about the roots and the history of Wicca and paganism and witchcraft and what the true meaning of it is. A lot of people, when they think of witches, you know, they picture the pointy hat and the broomstick and the sacrificing babies and worshiping the devil and all that. And that's just not what it's all about. It really isn't. And they're going to come on and explain to us the truth about Wicca and Wiccanism, or Wiccanism. I've had a long day. Paganism. And they're going to tell us a little bit about some of the different problems they've had out of people, you know, the bigotry and the discrimination that they've faced just because of the religion and how they're fighting that. And they'll also be discussing with us a little bit about how each and every one of us may use some magic in our own day-to-day lives and not even realize it. How a lot of the things that we do, like knock on wood, that comes from pagan roots. That comes from a magical past, shall we say. So we'll be talking to them about stuff like that, and they'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. So that's going to be an interesting show for sure. I really wish you could stick around and hang with us, but I know you have the sick babies and everything. So, everybody I know has been sick. Some kind of little stomach virus has been going around here, and Heather had a sore throat. Just, you know, it's that time of the year. It's 70 degrees one day and 20 the next, so go figure.
Talk about last week's show, too.
Yes.
She nailed it. That girl nailed, Rebecca Ann nailed Jennifer's reading. If you remember at the front of the show, my friend Jennifer received a reading from her. Nailed it.
Right.
She threw some numbers out. It was 9 and 19. Well, those numbers of 9 and 19 were Jennifer's husband's birth date. And Jennifer couldn't remember what the numbers were, and she kept looking at them, and it hit her. That's what it was. Just amazing.
Isn't that bizarre?
It is.
She impressed me. She impressed everybody. She amazed everybody. As a matter of fact, I even put a post in the forum over on our site about that, because she was so dead on with so many things. She's so very gifted. And any of you that missed last week's show with Rebecca Ann, definitely go to our player on our show page. You can play any of our archive show. Go check that out. And her website, once again, is RebeccaAnn.org, I do believe. So She did. She amazed all of us. Definitely. Our guests will be joining us in a couple minutes, hopefully. They're still not on the board, so we've got a couple of more minutes. Anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so. I'm just looking forward to a great week. I hope everybody's been working on the Pay It Forward.
Yeah, that's right. We had we actually had something about that on the website, too. We had mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Try to do something nice for somebody every day. And, you know, if something nice is done for you, then pay it forward. Here our guests are. So let me bring them on.
All
right. Hi.
Hi.
This is, hi, Lady Passion. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And I was just telling everybody, my co-host, Jessica, she has some sick little ones, so she's going to be bowing out, but I'm going to be doing the interview. But I just wanted to let you know, she wanted to stay on long enough to say hi to you, and then she was going to take off and go take care of her little ones. So.
Oh, that's sweet of her.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing goodly. How are you?
I'm great.
I appreciate you hanging around, and I appreciate, have you read our book? Are you a fan?
I personally have not read the book yet, but I've heard about it.
Well,
and
cool. I hope you read it someday.
I will read it soon. Thank you.
Goodly.
Well, y'all have a great evening.
What?
Y'all have a great evening.
You too.
And everybody out there, just stop by our website, check out my profile again, and Raven, good luck, and have a great evening.
Well, you have good luck with those children, and have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, girl.
Okay, bye, girl. All right, Lady Passion, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, I'm also joined here by my high priest, Duve, as well, and I thought it was just going to be me, but I guess we're both going to be doing it this evening as well.
Well, Duve, welcome to you as well.
Oh, merry meet. Merry meet.
Great. Well, you know, I figured Friday the 13th, it would be a perfect time to have a show on Wicca and paganism and witchcraft. It seems, didn't a lot of our superstitions start with pagan beliefs?
Well, actually, superstition is a demonization of the term, for magical practice. I mean, it's a persecutory language, actually. Superstition
okay.
is a negative term, but it's actually a Christianized word for rituals that people do every day to survive and thrive and to make themselves feel goodly.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking of things like knock on wood. You know, a lot of people do that. And doesn't that come from something with the spirits inside the trees, and they would knock on the trees to get the spirits' attention before asking for something? Isn't that where that one came from?
Well, that, and there are so many other things you can do with magically with trees. You can get rid of a headache by transferring it from a red ribbon around your head to tying it around a dead tree. And then it goes,
oh, wow.
It's already dead. So there are many things you can do with trees, knocking on wood being one of them. But sure, blowing out birthday candles, doing so many things, not stepping on cracks, not walking under ladders. These are safety issues. And so they started out with wisdom, and we still believe as witches that they have major wisdom to offer our lives. They protect us, these rituals, these superstitions.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely wanted to ask you about that, because that's what we were talking about before you came on, with some of the strange superstitions out there. So why don't you do this? Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of Wicca and paganism? How old is the religion itself? And you know, let's go from there.
It's as old is. I mean, it was the original indigenous religion on every continent in every prior timeline. Religion started out polytheistic, multiple gods and goddesses, multiple deities of nature and many other things. And the only reason that it was supplanted was through force by monotheists, people who believe there's only one deity, only one male deity. And they conquered by the sword, but so to speak. And yet it's as pervasive today as it ever was. In fact, more people practice polytheism, the multiple god and goddess worship, around the planet today than there are monotheists. And they just don't want you to know that. But it's
oh, wow. Okay, so exactly what is Wicca exactly? I mean, explain to us how Wicca works.
We often say that it's a polytheistic nature religion, so as many gods and goddesses, as Passion said, but we view nature as sacred, and that's where a lot of our, like a lot of Lady Passion's and my activism comes from, because we defend what we believe is sacred, but we, nature enfolds us. Nature is our teacher, source of wisdom, and so we witches tend to value twisty things instead of straight,
Right.
Wooden things instead of plastic, tend to, hold our rituals and our worship, if we can, out in nature, in a grove, under the moon, which is sacred to us. So, yeah, that's what makes it a religion, too. The third part of that is that we really do worship gods and goddesses. And that's what distinguishes, Wiccans and pagans in general.
Okay, is there a difference, per se, between Wiccans and pagans? Is Wicca just a particular name of the religion, of a aspect of the religion, or is it two different things?
Well, all Wiccans are pagans in that we believe in multiple deities, we worship the we appreciate the seasonal cycles, and we follow time by the seasons, not like regular people do calendars, per se. But not all pagans are Wiccans in that Wiccans tend to do a lot more rituals. We tend to be more stylized. Some of us have been trained, per se, by covens and lineages which are really old. We have books of shadows. It's much more religious in that aspect. And we do a lot of spell work. As opposed
okay.
to Wiccans, who may go to gatherings, they may circle, they may appreciate multiple forms of deity. They may not do spell work, they may not codify it, so to speak, or ever seek training. So we're a family, and yet Wiccans are, I would say, are deeper. They're deeper than your average pagan.
Okay. I'll tell you what, can you turn your phone or anything? In chat, they're saying they can't hear y'all real well. Can you turn it up maybe just a little bit?
We can move a little closer. Is this better?
Is that any better? They're saying they can just barely hear you.
All right, we may have to go to individual phones.
We'll go to individual phones, okay?
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry. I just now popped up the chat room, and they're saying they can't hear you. So
no
we want to.
No problem.
They're saying we definitely want to hear what they're saying. So
there we go. Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Now?
Can y'all hear them now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're doing a Verizon commercial.
Yeah.
Let me see what they say. Let me see what they say and see if they say they can hear you, because we want to make sure they catch every word here.
Of course.
I don't know, Blog Talk Radio every now and then has these little issues. We call them gremlins.
Oh, we do.
Okay.
We wrote about them in our The Goodly Spell book.
I have that book. I have that book. I don't have it right now because I loaned it out to a friend of mine, but I do have that book.
Oh, you'll never see it again.
Well, oh no, I'll get it back.
Yeah,
I got it.
They never do. So you'll have to go out and get a new copy.
The library buy a new copy because it kept getting taken. People, they wouldn't bring it back.
Oh, my goodness. Well, mine's autographed by both of you. I got it at Samhain 9.
Oh, awesome. You got one of the cool ones. That must have been the hardcover.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure was.
I have to get that back. It's so rare now. It's gone for $60 on eBay.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll definitely get it back. I mean, I've loaned this person books before, and I always get them back, so I'm crossing my fingers I'll get it back this time, too. But, yes, it's an excellent book. The book is also on the show page. There is a link to it. There's a picture of the cover and a link to it. If any of y'all would like to go check it out, please feel free to do so. It's out in paperback now, is it not?
Yes, it's been multiply translated. It's been printed in Milan, Italy, in Italian, and it's been enjoying many numerous reprints since it came out in 2005.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. Okay, let's see. I want to make sure they can hear you real good. I can't type and talk at the same time. And they said it's a little better. Okay, we'll do the best we. Yeah, we'll do the best we can here.
Okay.
What exactly? Now I know you're the high priestess and the high priest of a coven. So explain to our listeners exactly what a coven is.
A coven is 13 or less people that are trained or initiated or elevated, first, second, and or third degree. Third degree being the equivalent of clergy, who circle together at different times of the year. And as the need arises, to do spell work and to help each other, support each other, strengthen each other. They're a chosen family, if you will. They're the people you choose to hang around and the people you want to learn from and grow wise.
Right.
Grow wise with.
Okay, and there's a reason that the covens generally stay so small, isn't there, from antiquity?
Yeah, it's very hard to work really close quarters, high wire magic with a whole lot of people. I mean, you know, a public ritual is one thing, and we do hold a public ritual every year at Samhain, Halloween.
Right.
But for really focused, concentrated magic, it has to be a smaller number of people. And you know, it's 13 is a magical number too, of course. It's
well, we're doing it tonight.
Yeah.
But you know, think about it.
Exactly.
I mean, herding any more than 13 people into one thought form and one spell focus, it would be like herding cats. So 13 is a goodly number or less, and it just works really well. It has since antiquity. So you don't fit with
okay.
the program.
Well, now, I had read something on your website about back in the olden days, you know, when the witches were being persecuted, that they stayed in small groups to keep from being...
Exactly, and we still keep that. We still work in small cells. We found it very valuable. It was an odd, goodly thing that happened as an outcome of that. We learned that small cells work better than large congregations like Christians try to do, all these mega churches. It keeps things personal. It keeps it really real and targeted and focused, and everybody gets the maximum attention and nurturing that they need to perfect their souls, perfect themselves.
Also, it's not centralized around some, you know, central authority that then becomes too powerful and then too corrupt, you know. I mean,
right.
Each coven is autonomous. We have things that we all agree on and things that we tend to do in common. But within that realm, there's much creativity and room for expression. Each coven gets to do many unique things within those parameters of ethics and practice and liturgy and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Let's see. What is the role of a high priestess and a priest in the coven? What exactly is it that you do?
Well, the high priestess is the mother of the coven, so to speak, or the crone, depending where she's at in her life cycle, whether or not she can reproduce or not. I'm a crone. I've been a crone a long time. But, you know, depending on that, I mean, basically you nurture your students. You try to represent the faith, so to speak, really well in modeling your behavior. Not churchy, not prim and proper, wild. You can be as crazy wild and unique and creative as you want to be as long as you're speaking out for really important, pivotal things that everybody can see are problems or needs, and you try to help your realm. You are open and available to people who have needs and problems, and you try to save souls and lives every step of the way you can, using your talents, your magic, and helping them and showing
right.
them they can be empowered, you know? So that's
okay.
It's a lot of things. It's many hats, but that's what the high priestess does. She's a teacher.
Well, I know that a lot of people have many misconceptions about pagans and Wiccans, and witches in particular, as I was saying before I brought you all on, if you say witch, most people think of the pointy black hat and the broomstick, and you know.
Yeah, and we have those, and we wear those, and we use those too, because those.
Well,
cool.
Yeah, but you know, I'm the Halloween representation
very
of y'all.
Nice,
let's put it
yeah.
that way.
Well,
and there's.
Panda.
Well, there's people.
Panda.
We do wear black,
right.
though. We do.
Right.
Favor. You know, this behind every stereotype. You know, it's a twisted reflection of an archetype, because there is some truth to, you know, well, not the green skin part, but the
right.
lad, you know, flying through the air to meet at gatherings far away. Well, you know, we do practice things like astral travel, psychic journeys, that sort of thing, which may be where people got the idea of, because they actually did it.
Well, even
wow.
the green skin, I might add, could just have been a flying ointment applied to the face that somebody saw from afar and took umbrage with. But that doesn't mean that didn't mean that it was evil. It was probably just a
right.
way of, you know, slathering on some ointment to stay warm while they were doing astral travel or some other magic.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with it, is a lot of people have so many misconceptions about Wicca and witches. They think that you're devil worshippers and that you sacrifice babies. And, you know, I know this
well,
isn't
again,
true.
I
so
I don't think those are misconceptions. That's outright propaganda. It's been waged for
exactly.
years. And so I think people need to recognize there's a difference between misconception and conditioning. And they've been conditioned. They've been programmed. By monotheistic religions who are pikers compared to our ways, our old ways. We are the old religion. They are the very new one. And we still look at them going, yeah, when you grow up, we'll talk.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to give you a chance to set the record straight on that
yeah.
because, you know, so many people do. They think it's evil. And in reality, it's probably as far from evil as you can get.
Well, we recognize that there is light and dark in all life. There is good and bad in all things, and there, in every life, some rain must fall. But, you know, that these setbacks are not necessarily evil or negative. These are just things that happen to everyone in common, and witches are not to blame, but we can help, and we can help prevent these things. And that's why we have the reputation for power that we do and have had, and continue to have, because we do have it. We are wise. We devote our lives to becoming wise.
One thing that made us so unpopular with the organized religions, even today, whether it's Christian fundamentalists or Muslim fundamentalists in African countries burning witches, you know, which happens even to this day, and
oh,
you know,
goodness.
And all over the world. Yeah, there's every now and then a news story comes out from. You know, different countries, unfortunately, but is that we believe in and we practice direct experiential faith. You know, we directly work with the gods, you know, and experience them within ourselves. We don't go through a priest or a church or a dogma, you know, or a power structure in order to, you know, get our spiritual power.
There are solitaries who are not members of covens, who never are members of covens. You don't have to be a member of a coven. It's only for people who really want to study deeply and maybe become clergy to help other neighborhoods, whole other states or whatever. It's not for everyone, just like the clergy of the Christians is not for everyone of them. But and he said you don't have to go through a priest or priestess, and you don't.
Well, I meant,
we're just guides. We're just, we teach, and
yeah.
we, you know, we were trained, and we're going to pass along those traditions. If the students appreciate that tradition, they will carry on the old ways.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
you're not required to read a book literally and believe every story that's in it, including, you know, everything from how the world was created to how it'll be destroyed by, you know, your particular deity. We,
right.
you know, that's, so in other words, we don't have a Bible. We do have a lot of traditions and traditional lore.
And we have ethics, and we do have our dames, which are old kind of quote laws. They're not holy writ, but they are a guide, and they do help us to negotiate our path, even in modern times.
Well, why don't you tell us about some of your traditions, and first of all, start off with the Wiccan reed and explain to people the law of three.
Well, the Wiccan reed has been greatly exaggerated in many ways. It's one of many of the old Ardames. It's been expanded, poetized, bastardized in many ways, if you will. It's been perverted to some degree from its original meaning. What it originally meant, I was taught, was that it was kind of a warning to our detractors. Don't cross witches, don't mess with us, we mean you no harm, but if you start something, we will finish it. You know, you will get
right.
Whatever you send to us threefold. But instead, over time, it was picked up by one author and then carried on by many others, unfortunately. And it's become this hand-tying constraint to witches, to many. They're afraid to do any magic, any spell, for fear of the karmic repercussions. Well, let me tell you something. Witches are powerful. We're empowered. We are free and liberated. And we are fearless. And we have nothing to fear because our intent tends to be very goodly. And so it has been a tad misunderstood. But yes, in general, we do believe that whatever action you do, there are karmic repercussions, good or bad, depending on your intent and depending on what you did or didn't.
Right.
Well, in the along with the law of threefold return, which, Lady Paston was just talking about, there's also the reed backs that up in a way, and saying that harm none and do as you will. You know, and that's our good intent. You know, we're not out to harm anyone, and we're reminding ourselves. It's the same law that doctors have in their Asclepian oath, which they swear to a pagan god, by the way, of healing, Asclepius.
The Hippocratic oath is
Hippocratic,
what he's referring
to. Right, but it's sworn to Asclepius. I'm sorry, yeah, the Hippocratic oath, but it's sworn to Asclepius.
Oh, really?
Healing.
Yeah. One of those many instances of magic that pervade our world.
The symbol is the caduceus, which remains the symbol of healing to this day, the caduceus.
And that's our focus, is to heal, you know. And when we have to do a spell to stop someone from doing harm, which is, you know, usually when we resort to kind of those more powerful spells that people sometimes call dark, we don't do it to harm that person that the spell's done to. We do it to bind them from doing harm. You know, we do it to stop what they're doing wrong, and so that they won't continue to harm themselves and others. You know, it's that sort of ethic. That's, but yeah, it is a bit oversimplified. I mean, there's a lot more to pagan ethics than just two principles. But it's a good start. It's a very goodly start.
In fact, I mean, there's so many pagan principles that monotheism has ripped off and perverted, I must say. Things like the ancient Greek four major principles of justice and prudence and courage and
foresight, wisdom.
Wisdom. And so, you know, these are great basics that I think everyone should follow. And if they did, the world would be a better place.
No doubt. Just kind of like the pay it forward thing that we were talking about before we brought you on. When someone does something nice for you, you should do something nice for someone else, you know, to pay it forward.
And pagans and Wiccans are all about that. We track omens and portents throughout the day, saying, do this, don't do that. It's the way the gods speak and goddesses speak to us. They paint pictures in the cards. they can show you in so many ways. You're doing right. No, you're messing up. Check yourself and check your attitude and check your motivation. So we heed those things, and it's not, we don't have invisible gods that don't speak to us. We have gods that do.
Right. Well, now isn't it true that a lot of our holidays, such as Samhain, is our Halloween. Yule is so, Christmas. Explain to us a little bit about your holidays.
Samhain. Halloween is their take on it.
Well, there's
that's
a lot
what
of
I'm
crossover.
Saying. That's what I'm saying is your holidays have been taken to be, you know, regular holidays, and a lot of people don't know the true story behind where they came from.
Yeah,
starting even before the Judaic times, the Old Testament times, these monotheistic cultures started conquering prior pagan cultures that were the flower of the civilization of the day, and you know, well respected by everyone, and they just flat out conquered them and killed everyone that wiggled, and took their lands and took their money and their flocks, and it went from there. And so,
well, a lot of and people, you know, but you can't take away people's the magic that they do every day. I mean, yeah, the holidays that we celebrate are cycles of the seasons. Like Yule is winter solstice, when the sun dies and has to be brought back to life.
And our next Sabbath is going to be Ostara.
That's Christmas, of course, same time, yeah.
Right, and our next Sabbath is Ostara, which the Christians called Easter, and they still do. Same thing, they just
right.
co-opted, they took what we had, they kind of perverted it a little bit, diminutized it sometimes. But we still revere those ancient times and those ancient cycles and ways. We tell time by the seasons, not by the clock and not by their calendar, not by Christian A.D. or B.C., you know.
B.C., right.
Yeah.
Actually, I was born on is it pronounced Mabon?
Mabon.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Around
yeah.
December 21st.
And see,
that's my birthday.
That's a Sabbath. It's the last harvest of the season of harvesting. It's a bread Sabbath, so it's associated with grains and breads. And so we eat these foods of grains and breads and noodles and different things. And each thing has its reason. Each Sabbath has its associations for a reason.
That one's the fall equinox when the sun is, you know, the days and nights are equal, but unlike spring equinox that we're coming up on, where the sun's growing in power and it's going towards the warmth of summer, it's diminishing, you know, and it's going towards the cold of winter. So yeah, it's a harvest as you're preparing for the
you're stocking up to thrive through the winter.
Yeah, and so that's a lot of the you know, symbolism behind it. But it's not just a physical thing, it's also a spiritual thing, you know, as you're going into
the dark time.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Right.
So,
it's also,
yeah.
September the 21st is also, in ancient Egypt, it was the ancient Egyptian feast of divine life, which I found interesting because I've been fascinated with ancient Egypt ever since I was a small child. So I thought
that
was kind of neat,
culture,
too.
Of course. And,
right.
They had many gods and goddesses. People still around the world still practiced a lot of Egyptian magic. We do as well.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
We're
I didn't know that.
We're not in one country or even one timeline. And we use what works. And there are many magics from many different cultures and timelines that do work. And we are whatever works.
Wow. Now, I know that you also use divination. You're a psychic intuitive. And you're also a registered nurse, are you not, Lady Passion?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
Have been
well-rounded.
20-something years. Well, actually, about 90% of witches or and pagans are in the healthcare profession or counseling. It just is innate in
really
our nature.
High profession,
very
really
high percentage.
Yeah.
Probably because of the nurturing, caring
healing.
Nature.
The healing, ability to heal. We have it, and we're unique in that respect. We have empathy, high empathy, and we can diagnose without x-rays, you know, they're just tricks and abilities that we have.
It's also the most
wow.
useful thing to have around in a village or
yes, it is.
Tribe
right.
or wherever wise people have happened to be throughout the ages.
Right.
And if you're different like we are, it's great to have a skill. They let you live when
yes.
you have a skill if you're different.
Yeah, speaking of being different, y'all still have to, you can tell I'm from the South, y'all.
Y'all, okay.
You still have to, well, I know y'all are right up the road from me, so y'all can say y'all too.
if not yuns.
Yeah. I had Rebecca Ann last week, a psychic, and she's from up in Connecticut, and, you know, I was teasing her about her talking, you know, being from up north, and if she could understand my southern, and she used to live here, and she threw out a y'all every now and then.
Ah,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of funny.
English needs that word.
Mm,
it's hard to get away from, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know that you have to deal with discrimination and bigotry still to this day, and I know that y'all have been warriors in the fight against that. Why don't you give us a little idea of some of the things you have to deal with and some of the battles, such as the one that you had with the Virginia penal system?
Because America in the last 8 years, certainly, and on and off in general, is dominated negatively in many ways by Christians, monotheist fundamentalism even. They pay for things and they get laws written that are pretty restrictive against pagan freedoms on any number of levels. Pagans are family friendly. We tend to have more children than most. We tend to be more free. And so there's that intrusiveness that comes from having children from the government. There are many ways and inroads that
like,
they have.
Like DSS. Common too.
Department of Social Services.
It's these institutional bigotries. It's in prisons, they'll ban inmates from having tarot cards, you know, even though they'll let the other prisoners have playing cards. Like, why? Because tarot cards are spiritual, religious, you know, and the fundamentalists
don't like it.
Hate them. Yeah, so we have to fight for something like that. That was the case in Virginia.
Well, we also
and
had
you won
fight.
That.
I also fought and got them the right to order altar cloths. They said they weren't allowed to have an altar, so they couldn't have an altar cloth. And I explained to them, well, if they have tarot cards, then they need to have a layout cloth so they won't get their tarot cards messed up. And so I got the altar cloth. Then they had a problem with prayer oil. Why couldn't they get some prayer oil? And so I had to dialogue with them and say, you've got to allow them prayer oil because you allowed the Jews to have certain sacramental oils. And so we operate on the fairness principle, and we know our rights, and we know the law. And Wiccans are very well read. We know the law, we know our rights, and we have read millions of books. And so we tend to stand up for what's fair. We have a fairness principle embedded in us, and if they will allow it for one religion, they should absolutely allow it for ours. And we can show that, in fact, their religion and their allowances came from ours, and so they can't eschew antiquity that way.
Well, also we have something called the First Amendment in this country, and that's a key, you know, to us, that's a sort of, that's more sacred than the Ten Commandments, I'll be honest. The Ten Amendments of the Bill of Rights, that's what, you know, keeps us from having wars with each other like they have in countries where one religion tries to control the government.
Right. I was going to say, considering we live in a country based on the freedom of religion, you know, that we were kind of founded as a country.
But until you stick your neck out and until you're different, you won't realize that this is not the way that it seems. That, too, is propaganda. For instance, in North Carolina, there was a law for 53 years against doing divinations. If it wasn't anything but in a church, like a carnival, like a something to make fun of, to mock our religion and our divination.
Entertainment only.
Yeah,
entertainment only. It had nothing to do with money. And so when we found out about that, we realized that if there was a law on the books, in time they would use it. And especially since we were really going public in a major way, we knew it was only a matter of time until they tried to use it against one of us. Well, they didn't use it against us, of course, but somebody close by in Waynesville. And we started protesting, and after 6 years of protesting, we got that law repealed.
We started. Well, what we started out doing was... When the Haywood County Sheriff's Department shut down that a psychic business in Waynesville, citing this law, you know, well, we'd already written a commentary about it, and, you know, published it, made sure, you know, we could send that around again to all the media, and so then we called them all up, said, come down, you're going to see some fortune telling right on the courthouse steps, and that was on Independence Day Eve, July 3rd.
And so we did. We started with that, and then it spread to Asheville. They started cracking down in Asheville, so we were part of a protest that, you know, defied that.
The ACLU helped us with that, and it was like a ritual arrest. Someone who agreed to be the sacrifice, so to speak, you know. But someone with the police looking on, someone asked her for a reading. She gave her the reading with tarot cards and then was arrested. And so that way, the way the ACLU then brought it to court, you know. But
got it dismissed.
Yeah.
Which is how they handle it. If they can't beat you and they know they can, they'll just harass you and then dismiss it. Well, we
right.
wanted to get rid of it, so we kept going, and I appealed to the committee that reviews antiquated laws, which we consider to be an antiquated
There's
law.
A lot of those.
Old Gypsy Ralston law that we felt was very racist, sexist, and anti-Wiccan. And so we explained our position, and after 6 years of defying every year at our public ritual, doing, you know, free divinations for hundreds of people, being threatened with arrest every year but never arrested, we got rid of the law. And so we try to empower people and tell them
right.
you have more rights than you know. Don't worry about the persecution, because if somebody dares to do it, you'll end up owning their house or their business or whatever. Just call us.
Right.
Let us know. We'll get on it.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of antique laws on the books. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
There's one that's still on the books that it's legal to beat your wife with a switch no bigger than your thumb.
That's true.
Did you know that?
That's true.
That's still
yeah.
there, huh?
Yeah, and other just silly laws, you know, that would
not
apply today.
Well, they're not silly, they're repressive, and, you know,
yeah.
there's no reason for them to be there. And so, you know, if it especially attacks our religion or our ways, we will zone
right.
out of it. And we have a lot more rights, too. Just recently, in the last couple of 3 years, North Carolina passed a great law, which will be of benefit to many pagans and Wiccans in the future, making a special Class G felony to break into a place of religious worship. So if a person gets their coven gets desecrated for some reason, or someone tries to steal something, that carries special weight now. And, you know, especially if you're a 501c3 non-religious nonprofit coven, as we are, you know,
right?
Then you have so much legal weight to bear. And you can press for your rights just as any church can, or any mosque,
right.
or any synagogue.
Right. Well, yes, it should be protected the same. I mean, it's a religious place of worship, so
yes.
it should get the same rights.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about your first coming out of the closet, shall we say, the very first Samhain ritual that you held downtown in front of the courthouse in Asheville. I attended that one as well.
Well, we go ahead.
It was interesting. I'd seen it on the news, and I was like, I got to go see what this is about. And I ended up getting pulled into your dance there, your circle,
oh,
your
the
web.
The web,
and,
yeah.
Somebody grabbed me, and I was gone.
We always do a traditional spiral dance with at the end. It's kind of the epitome, the crescendo of the main rite, whatever theme it may be. We never do the same public ritual twice on Samhain. There's no need to. There's so much mitzvah to use. But there's so many aspects to teach people, and we don't stand up there and lecture or anything. No, we get people moving immediately. And that particular year, the focus was a humongous dream catcher that we had everybody help make in the circle out of undyed clothesline. It was hundreds of feet across, and hundreds of people were there. A lot of media was there. We were picked up that year by Extra. The TV show.
Right.
So they were following me every step. So that was unusual. It was unexpected. Definitely not, we didn't seek it out. It just happened. It went national because we were the first people, first witches, first coven to do any public ritual in the Bible Belt ever. So it made
right.
national news.
And we had, we had ranks of church members had been bussed in by local fundamentalist churches, standing there trying to
right. I remember
sing
that.
Psalms and hymns. And at one point, music is a powerful thing, and they were trying to use it to prevent us from, you know, working our magic, so to speak, our mojo.
Oh, but we were so
but
savvy.
When we realized that, we had the drummers start. Once you start that drumming beat. You know, it drowned out all of them, and it got people stirred up.
I just turned my back on them, and we circled, and we were in our own world.
Right.
They were on the periphery. They were like a distant voice we could barely hear.
Yeah, once it started.
And in truth, the old patriarch of the megachurch that busted all those people got arrested for trying to disrupt our ritual. which is when
didn't
we started to learn that we had rights about, there's a law in the books in North Carolina about not disrupting any religious ritual or function, so we started pressing our rights there. And we're perfectly willing to arrest somebody if need be if they try to interrupt in any way our religious
rights. Right.
With ill intent.
And
yeah.
We've never had to, but the police have done it for us on more than one occasion.
And there was one person that went to the police station, one of the people from out of town that came to your thing, went to the police station to ask directions and got attacked. And one of the religious people tried to stab her with a crucifix.
Oh, really?
I never heard of that.
Wow. Yeah, there was something about it that right there in the police station heard her asking for directions as a pagan and tried to stab her with a crucifix.
It almost sounds like an urban legend, but many things do, you know, somebody said and somebody whatever. I mean, we have gone on record on our website. We list all the Sabbaths we've done. We've explained some of the ins and outs and slings and arrows and of different particular years. But in truth, we have not experienced anything like that in so many years. I mean, when you first come out, you've got to do the legwork with your PR. You've got to explain what's the difference between witch, Wiccan, pagan. That goes on for a couple of years. You know, these questions about, well, are you evil or are you not? Do you worship Satan? Do you not? Blah, blah, blah. You do that for a couple of years, and then you say, you know that now, and we're going to move on with what, you know, our agenda is or our purpose. And so then they drop
right.
it because they get it, and they do pronounce it right. They do spell it right. They even get your last name right, which, in truth, my name is Dixie Dearman, not Deering, just so you know.
Right.
They get it all right, and they understand now what a high priest is, what a high priestess is, and they understand your magical name versus your mundane name. I mean, it's just something anybody should do. Take a couple of years. Get it straight with the media, and then it's over, and everybody gets it.
Right.
And everybody gets behind you because you're upright, you know. You walk.
Well, see,
you talk.
Right. That's one of
the
reasons I wanted to have you on.
The mountain people do accept that. They just don't want a flip.
Right.
They don't want a con person. And if you're not a con person or you're not a flake, they can embrace you even if you're different.
Right. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on, was so that you could clear up some of the things, you know, that people think, like you were talking about, you know, they think you worship the devil. In Wicca, there really isn't a devil figure per se. Is there a Satan-type
no.
figure?
Not even. I mean, that's Christian. I mean, they're the ones that have Satan in their Bible.
It's
right. And you.
Yeah. The depiction of Satan with horns and the tail and the cloven hooves and all of that, that's an attempt to slander Pan, who was, you know...
Who was and is one of our forest deities.
Yeah, and one of the most popular gods in the ancient world when Christians were competing with paganism to take over.
Pan, in fact, means all, which is why they say Pan-America, means all the Americas. Pan means all.
Oh, wow.
He was a big deity. Still is.
Yeah. And
What are some of your other major deities that you worship? Tell us about a few of those.
Well, Coven Oldowal has a primary deity couple, a goddess and a god, Herne and Hecate. Herne is also an aspect of Pan. He's a messenger of the gods. He's very wise. He's a kind of foliate god. He's associated with greenery, not like Thor, that's associated with thunder, per se. So there's so many gods and goddesses that we worship or appreciate or appeal to and work with, but Hecate also gets a bad rap. She's associated with witches, sometimes in a negative way. She's dark. She's deep. She can also be light. She can also be a mother figure. She's got multiple aspects. Triune. She's triple aspected, maiden, mother, crone.
Right.
But each coven has to choose their own, you know, god and or goddess that are primary. The ones that they maybe, when they cast circle, they say, please come down and, you know, attend to our rite, you know, help us out. But that's not
right.
The exclusion of many others that they appeal to and appreciate.
Right. I think, too, a lot of people have kind of, it's sort of like the big gangs in L.A. and New York, and then you have these little gangs around here that pop up that say, we're the Bloods, we're the Crips, and, you know,
right.
they're not, they're just wannabes. I think
right.
you have a lot of groups like that, and they pop up, and they take your pentagram and turn it upside down, and, ooh, now we're evil, and we're Satanists,
no,
and we sacrifice animals.
No, actually, that's more of a teen thing. A lot of times when teens turn on to their spirituality at 13, 14, 15, 16, the first thing they want to do is reject monotheism, Christianity, all the pain that it's caused them. So what have they been trained to do? Go the equal and opposite. Well, the opposite is Satan. And so for
right.
5 minutes, they're Satanists. But it's a phase, mostly.
Just
Satan.
Long enough to vandalize the church they went to, usually, which is where a lot of that happens. People, you know, just
right.
Kind of,
but they bastardize a lot of your symbols in the process,
yeah.
such as the pentagram.
Hollywood is very good at bastardizing that too.
In fact, the upside down pentagram is a second degree symbol. It means the horn god. That those 2 points upwards, those are the horns of the horn god, Pan.
Right.
So it's not.
But normally. But normally you use it the other way, right? With the
normally,
one
point
up. Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
It represents the five elements, right?
Yeah.
The five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, which we believe
and
it uses all matter,
and it,
all life.
Right. And it's also like the human figure, you know, the head, the arms,
mm-hmm.
and the legs.
It has many, many layers. Like
yeah.
All of Wiccan symbols have many layers, like pancakes stacked up. And so they can be all of these things all at once.
It also has that.
See,
oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, see, you can tell I did read your book.
Yeah.
I did read your book. It was a really good book, folks.
Thank
I'm telling you.
Oh, thanks.
Go check it out. It's in paperback now, and it's not $60.
No.
So
it's
you would save that about $60 on eBay.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang on to that. Who knows? Maybe someday I can put a kid with it.
Oh, man, you can put a kid through college through that.
Yeah, no doubt.
If not, $60 in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many people would you say today are pagan or Wiccan? I mean,
well,
is it a large group?
It's hard to know. A, the census takers don't have that. They put us down as other, normally.
Okay.
Okay. But several censuses have been taken by anthropologists, other sociological kinds of writers. Upshot is the last record taken was in 2001, where the projection was within 4 years, actually three now, by 2012, the projection was, based on the numbers that had responded, that Wicca, paganism, was going to be the America's third largest religion by 2012. That means just under Catholics and Protestants.
It was in the American Religious Identification Survey, yeah, ARIS, if you want to look
wow.
it up on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, the bottom line is, for everyone who claims to be, there are probably 10 that just are scared to death to do it. But they are practicing.
Right, because they're probably still
walk among you.
Yeah.
Right.
Walk among you, man. And
they're probably afraid of losing their jobs or
very much.
Their children.
You know, yeah, their children, their jobs, even their housing maybe.
Their family.
If,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
family
and friends.
Extremely intolerant.
Constantly, we.
They're friends.
Have,
you know?
Yeah, constantly, we have to help people who have had their witchcraft used against them in a custody battle in court, and you know.
How do you do that? How
oh,
do you help
so
them?
Easy. Because A, it's not supposed to be an issue. Every person's
right.
spirituality is their own, and it's not supposed to be an issue. And so you just let people know their rights.
You have to, yeah, and make
but
sure
they
let their lawyer know.
Yeah, they have to get to us early enough. If they make stupid errors, then we have to, you know, work harder to undo what they did or shouldn't have said or whatever. But
right.
in general, if they just contact us early, we can help them through anything.
And it's, yeah, it's just a matter of getting your, making sure the lawyer, your lawyer, educates the judge on the First Amendment, you know, and all you have to do is, you know, like raise that secret formula. You know.
And also, we are willing to testify on people's behalf as clergy, and
right.
That carries a lot of weight. I write a lot of letters preventing people from going to Iraq. They sign up, they're young, they have a change of heart, they turn Wiccan or pagan, they want to claim conscientious objectorship, and they come to us and they say, write a letter for me. And I let their CEO know, you don't want this one. He's a peacenik. He's one of us. Let him go. And they
right.
Do. And so now, we are very much advocates for anybody in trouble, whether it's a student in a high school who's, being harassed, or the teacher saying bad things, or they're being exposed to Christian stuff to the exclusion of all else, to parents, to workers, to prisoners. There's a lot of crying need out there. And it's not just all persecution. It's people in crying need.
And if we have a lot of help and guidelines on our website for people that run into these kinds of problems, oldenwild.org, oldenwild.org.
Right. I've got that on my show page, and I typed it into chat a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Through
the book, we try to empower people with lots of ways and spells, but also we have cheat sheets on our website for anybody going through anything. And you can always contact us as well through email, straight through our website, or by phone or mail or whatever.
And that's oldenwild@AOL.com, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And,
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you also have a Art Magical Academy. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's our what we call our outer court class in magic. It's anyone can come to it. Anyone can go as long as they want. It's it's a 10 to 20 donations sliding scale. But anyway, that's it's based on our book. It kind of goes chapter by chapter in more depth, and talking about. For instance, the next one's going to be on magic of chants and charms and words. So, we won't just be talking about the principles that we talk about in the book of how spells are made. Why certain sounds are magical and in what way. We'll be practicing it, doing some barbarous words of power and chanting, and that's and that's kind of what the whole class is about, is teaching you magic and seeing how to integrate it into your daily life and find it in your daily life. It's everywhere around us, and people just don't realize.
It's like the hidden matrix. I liken magic to the dark space between the stars. What holds up the stars? There's so much more black space than there is bright space.
Right.
And so, it's the underpinnings of things and how the universe works on a deep level.
So I should just mention that, that's the first and third Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m. at Gaia in Books and News. Gaia, Gifts and More at 61 North.
Why don't you tell us about your book? Tell us what's in your book and what kind of things, promote it a little bit and let the folks know so they... make them salivate a little.
It's divided into three parts. The first part is scope. That means like the breadth of magic, its history, what it is, how all of it. And the second part is the skills section. This is the nuts and bolts, the survival skills of witches, things we do best, from herbology, kitchen witchery, to scrying over spilt milk, and why that matters. And why it can help you.
Right.
Witch
divination.
Skills, divination, for telling the future. How to dance magically so that you reach ecstasy, you can levitate. All these little things.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Then the third section is spells. Spells for most every human problem that you might have, and multiple variations of those spells. And they're based on simple ingredients that you have on hand or that you can easily acquire. But really old stuff, old but simple, that really works, that we've done a million times and we know we can stand behind. Everything from how to get pregnant if you're infertile to how to prevent pregnancy for a year to, how to buy your dream home, how to prevent computer gremlins,
I need that one.
Everything.
Yeah, that's a useful one. on.
Yeah.
I said last week.
Going, you know, forever.
I need that one too. I had so many problems. As a matter of fact, I've lost my switchboard page now. It's completely gone. I'm trying to get it back so I can take calls and everything. But I said last week that I was going to hang garlic. I was going to sprinkle holy water. I was going to burn sage. I was going to do everything I could think of to try to get rid of the gremlins on my blog talk show here. So, it's back. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Pause right there, and let's play a break song for a couple of minutes. That'll give everybody a chance to take a bathroom break and get a drink. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little more, and then we'll start taking some calls from our listeners. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, we'll keep our
Okay.
line up.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to play a little bit of music here, and we'll be back in just over 2 minutes. So we'll be right back.
Many sights to see, and when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the witch, must be the season of the witch, yeah, must be the season of the cat looking over his shoulder at me, and he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, yeah.
Welcome back to Paradigm Radio. We are joined by our ghosts, or our ghosts. I've got ghosts on the brain. Our ghosts. I was looking at chat and talking. See, that's what I get. We're joined by our guests, Lady Passion and Duvet. And we certainly do, I did say that right, right? Duvet?
I'm sorry?
I said that right, Duvet, right?
Duvet, yes, right.
Duvet. Okay, because I often tell my listeners, if it isn't Smith, forget it, I'll butcher it. So that's why I asked you in the email, I need a pronunciation because I will kill it. Anything that isn't just very simple, I will, you know, it must be a Southern thing. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't help that it's from a dead language.
that did kind of help there.
Yeah, it's Oscan, a precursor to Roman.
To Latin,
yeah. Latin, and means sky god, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, what about Lady Passion? Where did that name come from?
Well, Passion was my original magical name. I felt like it perfectly described my passion for the craft. I mean, it's all consuming to me. And, you know, it's my talent. It's what I was born to do. But lady is an appellation that you get, you earn it at third degree when you become a clergywoman in our tradition,
right.
our in the craft. You can be called lady. And so you add Lady to your previous magical name, and you become Lady whatever, Lady Passion.
And that designates you as a third degree.
As a third degree high priestess, yes.
Yeah, it's
not
something you can just take
on.
Yeah. It's,
some people do, but they shouldn't. Absolutely.
It's in our tradition, which is ours is a blend of Gardnerian, which is a traditional English tradition, and Strega, which is from Italian. And, you know, like a lot of traditional witches, people have to study with us for at least a year and a day between each degree, you know, before they're a year and a day before they're initiated into first degree, and then another year and a day before second degree, and then so on till third degree, at which point it's like going to a seminary, you know. It's
wow.
You have to put in
what
time.
What type of things would they learn, let's say in a first degree, if I were to study with you for a year and a day, what types of things would I learn there, or is that like something you can't tell?
You learn how to approach and deal with multiple deities, gods and goddesses. You'd learn how to deal with ghosts, how to do ghost houses. You'd learn how to deal with multiple kinds of entities. You'd learn things like astral projection, astral travel, remote healing, remote viewing, hypnotherapy techniques. You'd learn herbology, how to create your own medicines for a year, and how to create them for other people from hand-harvested things and old techniques, many, many things. You'd learn spellcraft, how to do all kinds of spells, how to do all kinds of circles and sabbats. Lots to it, and but it's beautiful. It's a celebratory religion, so it's not like going to church and sitting in a box. You get up and you move, and you're creative, and it's multiple colors, lots of feasting, and having lots of camaraderie too.
That sounds great. If it's anything like your Samhain rituals that you hold at Halloween, that's anybody that's anywhere near here, even if you're not near here, I'd highly recommend that you come to North Carolina, to Asheville, and attend those on October the 31st. It's unreal, and you do something different every year. I attended your first one. I've attended like three of them. I know I did the one, I guess it was 9, that you had the River Styx and the Dumb Supper.
Yeah,
that was nice.
But why don't you explain to everybody exactly what Samhain is, and or Halloween as they know it, what it actually is, and the story behind it.
Well, Samhain is a Sabbat, which is one of a Sabbat being one of our 8 high holy days or nights of the year. We don't have holy days like Christians do. We have kind of holy nights, and our Sabbats go into the wee hours and sometimes overnight, especially at Yule, where we'll stay up all night and scry the fire. And wait to watch the sun come up, because if we don't, the sun won't rise. Samhain, it's associated with respect for our ancestors, remembering them, appeasing them, not only our witch ancestors, those who have gone before and endured persecution so that we can exist, but also our personal, you know, lineage, our personal genetics. Our ancestors,
our family, friends that have gone, that have passed away,
crossed over. Maybe that year or years before, we honor them, we remember them, we mourn them yet again.
It's traditionally a time, you know, when you think about it, it's the middle of fall and the leaves are dying. You know, there's frost in the morning. There's intimations of death all around you. And that's a time traditionally when, as they say, the veil between the worlds is thin, and that spirits can communicate more easily with mortals.
And it makes total sense because, I mean, if it was in winter, in the depths of what most people would associate with death, most people couldn't get out and experience these spirits flying around. But in fall, you still can. It's crisp, but it's not too bitey that you can't get out and experience them. So they're all around you. They're milling all around, and might as well take advantage of that and recognize it and appreciate it. And supplicate them with things like candy and offerings, and go, you know what? I'm going to feed you, hungry ghost, so you won't, so you'll be content and at rest and pleased.
And
won't be unhappy.
That's
where the tradition of giving candy came from, is it not?
Yeah, it's an appeasing of spirits. Yeah, And a lot of cultures have that.
Oh,
yes. Day of the Dead, of course, in
Mexico.
Real close.
Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, Dia de los Muertos, yeah. And
there's actually a whole religion around that, isn't there?
No, it's just it's another pagan-y. They have it the day after, November 1st. The Catholics called it All Souls Day.
Right.
All Souls for spirits flying loose. And, you know, so they tweaked it. But yet it remains. And it remains not only in South America, in Mexico, in America, but all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Your religion is so in-depth and has so many aspects to it. But if you wanted people to know, just, you know, if there's something that you wanted everyone to know about your religion, what would it be?
That this is a religion, but that don't let the word religion freak you, because I know monotheists have done a lot of damage to it. But not all religions are created equal, per se. And that we were the original, and we remain the most widely practiced one for a reason, because it's inclusive, it's nurturing, it's tolerant, it's empowering. And that's freeing, and that's why it remains to this day a threat to the state, a threat to people that want to dominate and make it their exclusive purview. And so we remain the resistors on that level. And we always will. We've always been the conscience of the people, and we've always been the protectors and the helpers of the people, and we always will be.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, I'll tell you what. It looks like we have a caller already, so are you ready to maybe take a call? It's from the 828 area code. All right, let's see if I can get this caller on here. Caller with the 828 area code, you are on the air with Paradigm Radio and Lady Passion and Duvet.
Hey,
are you there?
Yes. Some people don't think I'm here mentally, but I should be here.
What's your first name?
I'm Mark from MC Geist.
Oh, Mark. Hi. How are you?
Hi.
I
should have
known when
home.
I saw the 828 area code.
Yeah, I'm the other half of another show, and I think you guys are doing well with your show. I've been listening kind of off and on with this about the. I wasn't here at the beginning. So, are you guys a Wiccan religion, or are you or do you consider yourself just like one of the many pagan religions that seem to exist
we're
out
Wiccan.
There?
Wiccan, yeah.
Wiccan. You were talking about your religion being a threat to the
state.
Why would you say it's a threat to the state? When you say state, do you mean the state of North Carolina, or do you mean the state
I mean the state as in the big state.
She means
in the United States.
Sense of governmental power, control. Frankly, think of it this way. I mean, a lot of them, unfortunately, Republicans or neocons or whatever, they consider our small circles cells, as in terroristic types of cells. We don't have any one body they can jerk their chain on. We remain independent and resilient and activistic. And
Well, my deal with that is you say you remain activistic.
Mm-hmm.
What type of activities are you talking about?
Well,
because in general, the religion, the government would not be concerned with the Wiccan religion since, A, it is a religion. When I say religion, I'm talking religion in the aspect of the definition as in being a form of worship. I'm not saying as a religion as in like a Christian religion.
It's simply people within positions of governmental power that abuse, because they're religious bigots, they abuse that authority. I mean, that's really it's
like DSS.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I wouldn't exactly consider that to be. I would consider that more. I don't know how to take that, because quite frankly, I'm a patriot.
Well, I agree.
What that means. I believe in the country. I don't think the government is worried.
Well, we don't believe in a government, because any government is innately corrupt, so to speak. What we're saying is, of course, we're patriots, matriots as well. We love our country. That's why we help people in it. But there, of course, you've got to recognize there is corruption and there is persecution and there is assumptions and there is a certain bias.
I don't deny that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that there's corruption in everything, including your form of belief, believe it or not. I've known a few people, and I'm not saying this is a negative thing. Do understand, and Night Raven knows me from another show that I do. I'm a very positive skeptic. I'm a very positive person. But I'm also one of these people that is something that people don't like, and I think.
Yeah,
and I use
exactly.
Common sense.
And that's what,
and people don't like that.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah.
But I'm
not
myself a terrorist.
Yeah. And again, I hearken back to training. I think a lot of people that misrepresent the craft or Wicca, you can always hearken back to their lack of training. Now, it depends on if they were eclectic by nature or whether they were solitaries for many years or whether they just read a book and claimed that they were Wiccan. I think there's degrees of everything, and I think there's a difference between a lot of people that misrepresent any religion, whether it's Wicca or otherwise.
So I'm sorry, going back to the question, I didn't mean to interrupt you so much. I'm sorry, I'm not very good at this, and I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I'm one of these people that everyone says, you'd be a good debater, and I'm like, no, I argued too much with my brother as a child, so I don't like arguing. And the only difference between debate and argument is there's no violence involved. Anyway, I'm kidding, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
Fade away, but argue not.
But you were talking about activism. What aspects would you say that the government would be concerned about the Wiccan religion and part of the activism aspect?
Well, we had
you must have missed that part of the show.
Yeah, I just came in about 27 minutes ago. I had another.
Yeah, we did discuss some of that, and we certainly our. Our website's full of our exploits on this level. But just one example. Last year, we got attacked personally as a coven in the news media, one newspaper, by a man who is the leader of something he calls the Carolina Stompers. Now, it's a neocon, ultra-uber-republico kind of entity, which even our local Republican party in North Carolina has absolved itself from. But, you know, they're out there, they got a blog going, I mean, they're spreading hate speech. Well, they did this article, and we took umbrage, of course, being singled out, and how dare they. And so, you know, we responded to that immediately. We didn't knuckle under, we didn't go mea culpa, no. We pushed back.
We challenged them to a debate on some key issues, like, you know, should magic be taught in the schools? is there one God,
or
no God,
or
many
gods?
And
ultimately, they backed down. They backed down rather than debate us in an open forum. We've never heard a puff from them since. But, you know, this happens, and, you know, they are very much a viable entity in their own way. But, you know, we just don't take it. I think witches don't take that kind of persecution the way that other people tend to. And so we've always been the ones to push back a little.
I do believe, you know, that everybody, I go to the Constitution again, but I don't think personally that you guys have too much to worry about from the government. I think they really,
honestly have to practice and do some of the activism that we do and stick your head up out of the sand a little bit in order to experience some of this stuff.
Well,
I think it's easy to think that if you've not done that.
Well, it's particular. It's just mostly particular aspects. You know, it's really, by and large, when we use the First Amendment as our shield, it works because it's real and it's important.
Well, like I said, once again, like I said, I don't think you have to worry. I think you're just having to worry about certain individuals that
are
bury your head in the sand. I think that's all you have to worry about.
We don't worry. What we're saying is that we recognize it exists because we get a lot of calls from clients, and we have occasionally experienced a certain push-me-pull-you. We always survive it, and not only that, but thrive it. But still, I mean, we're not going to back away from saying it's out there because it is.
Well, in school.
Well, I'm part of a crowd of people that are like that myself. I mean, I'm one of those evil people called a role-playing gamer. I play Dungeons & Dragons for years. So now I'm immediately claimed as being a Satanist and I sacrifice small children. Which,
and
to
you
be
get
honest
your
with
website's
you,
blocked on, in school.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I understand the persecution aspect, but I think I think you guys are great spreading a message of positiveness and opening the doors. And I think that yeah, you know, pushing back is okay, but I don't think I'd worry too much about being considered.
We don't worry.
Well, yeah.
We do explain to people that it does exist.
We
right.
We're not big worriers.
They fought for the prisoners' rights to use tarot cards in the Virginia
exactly.
penal system and to have altar cloths. They fight DSS when
We've
children
gotten rid of the
anti-Disney or their children are
bomb.
Taken away.
We've
yeah.
Turned
yeah,
it's
yep.
unfortunate. It's unfortunate that a lot of our policies are put together, but you have to remember that a lot of the policies that we have and a lot of the stuff that you do, there's like a almost a generation gap in it in some ways, because
it's
a lot of the
school, yeah.
you know, you're looking at a lot of the old people being part of that, a lot of the older lawmakers and a lot of people that set up these institutions being part of the 1950s, you know, God,
yeah,
country,
right,
and everything,
mentality.
Versus some of the openness that came out in the 1960s. I will honestly
yeah.
always say that the 1960s were the best thing that hit our country and the worst thing that hit our country.
Oh,
I think we've
thing.
Had a perpetual culture war
there
between the people
war.
Of the 50s and the people of the 60s, you know, and
mm-hmm.
the two yin and yang
and, you know,
struggle.
Frankly, the dinosaurs just really want to cling on, and their time is done. But they're, you know, they're reluctant to see that. And so
that's why we have so many 80-year-olds in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. But,
I don't want to sound like I'm monopolizing. I'm sorry,
oh,
Night Raven.
No.
I don't want to sound like
that's
I'm monopolizing.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay.
She will.
That's quite fun. You're bringing up some great points, Mark.
Go ahead.
Well, like I said, it's nice to let people know, and you got to have open minds, and that's the thing that you're fighting. Because, I mean, this is the thing that I think is the underlying thing, and I know I'm kind of going away from what you're talking about, but I think you're an integral part of it. And the concept that I have is all this stuff that we're looking at racism, we're looking at unknown religions and new religions, we're looking at, the same-sex marriages and what the problem is and what we need to address. I don't mean to make this my
sexism. Yeah. There's a lot of sexism today.
Well, what we're looking at is we're looking at ignorance versus intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
what we all need to do on. And I think you guys are doing a great thing by looking and explaining to people and educating people.
Yeah.
But we had a real interesting experience with that this summer, acting on our beliefs to save an heirloom, very important tree in front of City Hall. We camped out under the 100-year-old magnolia tree to save it from a developer who was about to bulldoze it. And, we fought and fought through the system, so to speak, the government, the laws.
For over a year.
But we and a bunch of other people. But it finally came down that they were just rubber stamping his giant condo project in front of our, beautiful City Hall.
Where else?
Asheville's so famous for.
So I went out.
That would look so bad there, too.
And I sat my butt down, and people said, "What are you going to do, Passion?" I'm like, "I'm just not going to leave." And I didn't.
And you didn't.
I didn't. And
yep.
Well,
shine night and day through lots of grueling stuff. We stuck to our guns, and we saved the tree.
Well,
because
it's
not just a tree. There's a principle involved. And we act on our principles, I think.
Well, that's good, and it's a good way to teach people and, just a word of caution for everybody, including myself, is just make sure that we wield it properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some negative, danger stuff out there. You have a lot of people, and you were talking earlier about the young people, and I used to do a lot of young I was accused of being a pastor once, which is rather hilarious. If you ever saw me, you'd look at me going, "He's a pastor." No, I'm not. I'm not related to any type of religion, to be honest with you. I'm more spiritual. But the thing is that we have to make sure that our children have the proper guidance, and we have to make sure that they understand what's going on. They have to understand.
Exactly.
And
given
the
stuff
them
that they're supposed to, you know, we do believe and we do encourage parents to actively counteract all the negativity they're getting from negative sources of many kinds. with imbuing them with a love of nature, love of humanity, giving back, volunteerism, activism, picking their path and using their talents and trying to encourage them with survival skills. All these things can be really empowering to young people and can prevent a lot of problems.
Yeah, it does, and it's great. And like I said, I used to tell my kids, I don't call them my kids, but the kids that I used to hang out with, which were kind of the lost and forgotten people. Some of them were Wiccan. Some of them were, you know, just the goths and the emos. I always want to say emus when I think of that.
Emus.
The emus, you know. Long-legged, never mind.
Right.
Anyway, I have a warped sense of humor, so just bear with me. But I think that, you know, that's a good thing to have out there to explain is to give you guys, is to give them guidance. But let them decide on their own and
well,
make sure they get the positive.
Yeah.
Involved. And I think the society in particular discounts the intelligence of young people and their desire to be powerful and goodly and to maximize their talents. And they just tend to discount them all the way around when, in fact, we've taught kids as young as 7 years old who mop the floor magically with their parents. I kid you not. And so, you know, young people are born with magical talent, and they either exercise it or they or society beats it out of them and, makes them succumb and numb out and just deny, dismiss. And so we find that a tragedy. And so we're always trying to encourage people to encourage their kids. You know.
Well, I think you guys are doing a good job, but little I've heard, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the whole podcast, including this embarrassing moment where I'm actually on the Blog Talk Radio. embarrassing myself.
Well, thanks for calling in, Mark.
Hey, no problem. Night Raven,
you did
great,
I'm so sorry if I
took over too much of your show.
No,
I
don't
apologize
worry
about
it.
That.
You don't have to apologize at all there. You, like I said, you brought up some very good points and let them express even further their views on things, so I appreciate it.
Well, you know how the show I run works. Yeah, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our gremlins and twirls too.
Well, we'll try to exercise all the gremlins off Blog Talk completely. How about that?
Yeah, but you got to worry about the forals you just mentioned a little while ago. I'm just
I was trying to say folks in chat and I said forals.
Forals.
I had typo fever bad. Okay, Mark, well, thank you so much for calling
us. Thank you
us.
For having me on, and I didn't mean to monopolize you guys, and you guys
no
have
problem.
A wonderful, wonderful evening, and enjoy your Friday the 14th, or Saturday the 14th, excuse me.
Thank you.
And
okay, happy Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. Duh. Okay, Mark's not conscious. Mark's
well,
not conscious. But you guys are good people. I'll have to look into this some more, just kind of, I have
okay,
an interest in a variety of
well,
things.
Well, read that book. You might be pleasantly surprised.
I'll have to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look into that.
There's
and once again, I Raven, thank
okay,
you again for
bye.
Letting me on the show. And
no problem.
Be good. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Yes, Mark and Justin host another show here on Blog Talk, and they have a really good show, too, so... I'm glad that he could stop by to listen and call in. Now, if I can hang up the phone on him, I'll be doing good. Somebody in chat said that Blog Talk's under construction, so that might be why we're having some of the problems that we're having tonight. So, but anyway, I think it's that y'all are setting an excellent example, not only for the young people, but also for, you know, older people, showing them that, because too many people believe now that there's really nothing they can do. That, you know, government and power is going to do what they want to do. You have shown, you've shown that you can stand up. You can stand up as an individual. You can stand up as a small group.
In fact, when you do, you win.
Exactly.
You stand up for your principles and by the letter of the law, and you put people's feet to the fire that are corrupt, and you expose them to the light of day in print or whatever method you use. Change happens. The people get behind you, and they're like, they're right. And by goddess, this ain't right. And, you really can win a lot of support. Why?
Right. And just shedding light on it sometimes. Some people, you know, they go through their lives oblivious that
yeah.
things, just like when you were saying that they still burn the witches. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, and in fact, even here, when we first came here, people were still having crosses burned on their lawns that were
mm-hmm.
witches.
They were.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, things like that don't make it into
the... down the road, and so, you know, all the more reason why we wanted to go public and go, enough of that. Enough.
Right.
It's over.
Well, see, I didn't know that, and not only that, but... just, I can't imagine, I mean, I know that crosses still get burned, but it's usually not because of religion, it's usually racism.
No,
but
well,
these
well,
things don't make it into our normal news.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't, because a lot of people are embarrassed and they don't want to publicize it. But the truth is, I mean, we have far more freedoms than most people know. They just don't exercise them. But when you do, you fare well. It pays to be public if you can be. It pays.
Right.
Because if you're not, people still know you're different. And so they'll sense it, they'll smell it, they'll see it in some way. And they're going to be over-curious. So you might as well be honest and open. The truth is, everybody's soul is their own. It's nobody's business to tell them how to live because nobody has the same life as any other. So,
right.
You know, it's a precious thing. And that, from that standpoint, yes, it's personal. But it's also something not to be feeling bad about, whatever their religious choice is, whatever their spirituality is, or none
right.
at all, whatever.
We were, and, you know, one thing we talk about on our website is that this is not founded as a Christian country. This, in fact, pagans were there from the beginning, like Thomas Morton, who was, you know, some people call the pagan pilgrim, but he came to Massachusetts at the same time as the Pilgrims and started he erected a maypole on a hill and called it Marymount and held a May Day ceremony, invited all the local Native Americans, you know, the Puritans.
Freaked out. But it was bigger than that. In fact, he worked with the Native Americans. He had such a growing concern that he was kicking tail on the Pilgrims. They were starving, and he was thriving. And so they got so jealous that they sent the law after him. Miles Standish, do you remember him from history class?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he put the finger on the guy, had him arrested 2-3 times, sent to England, back and forth, broke his will, broke his spirit, took his land, took his money. And so this is why, to this day, you don't learn about Thomas Morton. But in fact, this could have easily been a pagan country.
Well, in many ways it is. I mean, we have a pagan star on our flag for a reason. It's because it is the same star that we wear. It was, you know, it came in as a symbol through Freemasons who were, you know, magical tradition outgrowth of the alchemists of the Renaissance.
Who Benjamin Franklin was a member of.
Franklin, George Washington, Lafayette, all these people. And that's, Washington, when he died and was buried, he didn't have a mass read over his coffin or anything like that. He had the rites of Osiris were done to him. There were sprigs of acacia and offerings of oil and wine on his into his tomb. You know, it was a full pagan ritual.
Wow.
You know, people just don't know this part of the history because they only hear what the, you know,
the truth is
Fox
suppressed.
News tells them.
The
yeah.
truth is suppressed on purpose. They don't
right.
want you to know.
I have lost the chat room now. Blog Talk's really given us a fit tonight.
We had a little trouble with the website, too, to be honest. That's why we...
I've been trying to click the talk button anywhere.
It should be located over chat.
It was, it seemed like it just didn't interact with our browser well, the whole website. I mean, not just your page.
Which browser do you use?
Nonetheless, and to devolve into techno talk.
Sorry.
That's what I have Firefox as well, and I mean, it works okay, but for some reason, like, the chat just disappeared, and I'm clicking on Start Chat. So anyone that's listening that was in chat, I don't know if you're still there or if it closed it, but I'm trying to get it back. If anyone has any questions for our guests, Lady Passion and Duvet, okay, I'll get it
Duvet.
One of these days. The number to call is The number to call is 646-200-3906, or look for the click to talk feature. Hopefully it will work for you, which should be located over chat, which if chat isn't there, I don't know. But yeah, chat just will not come back up. I don't know if it's even still there or not.
That mysterious 13 strikes again.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's the strangest thing, too, because this is our 7th edition on the 13th. So lucky number 7 lucky number 13.
This is our magical
but, it seems like Blog Talk always does their maintenance on Friday night for some reason when my show is on.
It's not very good timing,
No, I may need to move it up an hour or something, you know. But, what all kinds of things can people find on your website?
Well, it's very extensive. It's one of the oldest and most expensive Wiccan websites.
On the net,
yeah. We have general information starting out. You know, I mean, there's frequently, FAQ about what is witchcraft, which people can print and give to their relatives or teachers or whoever.
In fact, you can print anything out on our website.
Yeah, there's
and
a lot of information for teens, and prisoners and so forth. We also have a chronicle of our past Samhain rituals, descriptions and uploads of it, pictures and such.
Right.
It's so extensive. We list all of our past Sabbaths in detail with tons of pictures of ghost photographs, real ghost photographs.
Cool.
Lots of information about magical practice, Sabbath, all the things that you would want to see.
There's online bookstore with recommended reading. Mm-hmm.
Great.
A recommended reading list of witchcraft and witchcraft-related subjects, which you can immediately order off our website through an Amazon.com link. And, really get started. I mean, it's very empowering to have all this information well at hand.
Well, it's great. And that is oldenwild.org, oldenwild.org. If someone would type that into chat, if chat is still open. We have another caller, so let's go to them. Let's see. Caller with the area code 904. You're on the air with Paradigm Radio, Lady Passion and Duvet. So what is your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Darlene. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi, Darlene. Welcome.
Okay. I can't believe I got through. I thought you'd have a long waiting list. I just wanted to say hello and say what a great job they're doing. I did meet both of them last spring at Phoenix Fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi. Nice to meet you again. Nice to hear you.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you, and I think this is awesome. Unfortunately, I wish we had more listeners, so.
Well, sounds like there's a little technical difficulty.
Yeah, technical.
Yeah, but people can download it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, they can listen to the archive show, definitely.
So did you catch one of our lectures there? I think we did a lecture on Barbara's Words of Power, maybe?
No, I didn't catch that one.
Ah, that's too bad. But we had a great ritual, I think, that year. At the main rite. Were you there for that?
No. I have this job that kind of keeps me, very busy.
Well,
You're lucky these days.
We were asked by Phoenix Fire to come up and do a couple of lectures based on our book last year, and we drove all the way to Florida with our group, our coven, and it was a great time. We had a great time with them.
No, I was at that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we shared some wine.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Mold by chance? Mold wine?
I do know that it was around the Bale Fire.
We did have fun. We watched the people doing all the fire dancing.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I remember.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
They played a lot of frenetic.
They know how to throw a party.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. They, If you can ever come up to North Carolina. Come up for their Samhain rituals. That's something you definitely don't want to miss.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to put out for everybody that your website is awesome. If anyone can help support you in what you do, even if it's just sending some really great energy.
Yeah.
Because I know you seem to take on the world.
We do.
And that is a big thing.
It is, but it's a big world.
Both are.
I know.
Lots of need, so.
we're working on teaching people to help us do that.
Well,
so
go
we
ahead and plug away.
Yeah, we are nonprofit. I mean, so every year, like this year, we put $4,000, 4,000 miles on my truck. Phoenix Fire was part of that to help serve the community at large.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I mean, it all goes into the pot, you know.
She just did our report, so she knows the number. But, yeah, we
now,
do
you have a question for us, Darlene?
Pardon me?
Did you have a question at all?
No, I just wanted to say you're doing super. This is great. I'm so glad you did it, and I'm going to pass it on to a lot of other people.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that was just the main thing that I just can't believe you're on, and I'm glad that I got the email this morning that you were on.
Awesome.
Well,
thank you.
So I will let you go. And
pass
it was good to hear from you.
To the Phoenix Fire
folks.
I will. But y'all take care and good luck.
Thank you.
Stay in touch.
Thank you so much for calling, Darlene. You have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Phoenix all the way from Jacksonville, Florida.
Phoenix Fire is the name of a gathering. We just go to a lot of different gatherings. It's a place where we can get together and do what we do without, you know, being molested amongst people of our own kind.
Without being harassed, right.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got about 9 minutes left, so if anybody else wants to call in, please feel free. The number is 646-200-3906, or you can use the click-to-talk feature if you can see it. I don't know. I can't get chat back up, so it may still be up, and I just can't get to it. I don't know. But I really do appreciate y'all coming on tonight. Go ahead and give out your website and any other information. How can people donate to your organization?
They can go onto our website. We have a PayPal link there. Or if they don't want to use PayPal, they can they can email us, and we'll give
totally
them our
hook
mailing
them up
address.
That.
Yeah.
We do give receipts. We also provide. I mean, we're so above board because we see a lot of Christians doing things, manipulating monies. In negative ways, we bend over backwards to do the opposite. So we provide a free report of our financial everything to anyone who wants one, if they have any.
Transparent.
Call. And it's all
transparent. Yeah.
It's all tax deductible. So whatever they donate to us, they can write off their taxes.
That's right, folks. So if you'd like, send them a donation, and you can take it off on next year's taxes. That's always a good incentive. So, you know, in just the last couple of minutes that we've got here, is there anything? Let me ask you about divination. That's the one thing we never got to.
Yeah, yeah.
What all forms of divination do you use?
There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of forms of divination. Let me boil this down. Anything that exists, you can take two or three of it, sometimes even one of it, and divine with it. You can crumple a piece of paper into a ball. You know, toss it a certain way, and you can predict the future with that. Simple thing. You can take a piece
but
of
what are some of your favorites?
My favorites are crystal ball, palmistry, and probably, man, that's really hard. Divination is my magical specialty.
Tarot, too.
I do a lot of tarot, but I particularly like to specialize in things that most people don't do, so I do a lot of pendulum work. I do a lot of throwing the bones, you know, like they did in the ancient times, throwing the bones to predict the future. So I divine with most anything, but there's standard stuff that most people want. And so, you know, I do all that too.
Mine is astrology. I was a professional astrologer for a number of years in California and where I'm from. But also geomancy is one of my favorites. It's a way of creating these figures of one or two dots, and each of them with meanings. If you here's a little tip: if you go to our webpage and look on our homepage and view the source of the webpage, you'll see two little geomancy figures that I've encoded in there as a charm. For increasing web connections, and it works.
Yeah, apparently it does.
Probably
that's really cool.
One of my least well-known but favorite divination forms is called margaritamancy. It's divination with pearls,
And it's really
fun.
You put a pearl in a saucer and you move it around and it tells you things. So, I mean, there's so many
ways. I've never heard of that.
Oh, there's so many ways to divine the future.
Right. I had never heard of that one.
I'm pretty fond
of tarot cards.
You can use one thing we mentioned in our book is chronomancy, where you divine by digital clocks, the number patterns.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because, you know, by the number patterns, like if it's, you're wondering if you should do something right at this moment, and you look at the clock, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's good. That's a positive omen. That's a, you know, increasing numbers and so forth. But if it was, 1, 2, 3, 5, it might be a little too late to do that, you know, or 1, 2, 3, 3, it might be too soon, you know, because it's the number after or the number before the lucky one, you know, so it's pretty basic. But digital clocks are everywhere, so it's easy to.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned that, let me ask you something. The number 1111, I've seen it posted on bulletin boards, on forums. A lot of people see the number 1111 every time they look at the clock, it seems like.
Forum.
I've noticed it myself. What does 1111 signify in that
symmetry.
Perfection of oneness. Yeah.
Perfection of oneness and a quadrupling of one. So
four
elements are represented. That means go for it.
That's a very auspicious
one.
It
means earth, air, wind, and fire are at your back. They want you to do what you – they're going to support that.
Yeah, when you get symmetrical patterns like that, those are usually the best, the luckiest.
I know I see 12-12 a lot. I see 11-11 a lot, and I just wondered, because
symmetry.
It's
symmetry, and 12-12 means completion, and there are 12 signs in the zodiac. That means double 12. That means – go for it again.
So, yeah, know what you're thinking about at that moment when you notice it. It's like, it's commenting in a way on whatever it is you're talking about or thinking about at that moment. It's like the universe is commenting and giving you
guidelines. Yeah, it's giving you a sign. Wow. Okay, well, good. That answered that question.
Yeah, the last thing I'd like for people to know is that magic makes sense. It's based on common sense. It's based on the way the universe works, and it's based on the way human nature is. And so if you go with the flow instead of opposing it, opposing the universe, appreciating things like money and greed and things and material goods that really are transitory, if you stick with things that are eternal.
Like nature.
Like nature and eternal truths, eternal principles.
Love.
It's hard to go wrong,
Love,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Especially today.
Okay. Well, one more time, go ahead and give your website and the name of your book and where they can get it, and because we've only got about 2 minutes left here, so go ahead and get all that out while we're at it.
All right, it's the Goldde Spellbook, O-L-D-E, spells for modern problems, published by Sterling, and it's, $15 in paperback. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, local bookstores.
Mostly get it off our website. We get Amazon
credit. That's
the
best place. Yeah.
There you go. Click on the link on the show page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's at www.oldenwilde.org. And that's where you can find everything out about Coven Oldenwild and general information about Wicca.
Well, I want to thank you all once again for coming on. I really do appreciate you doing this. And,
thank you.
You'll be able to, in about 15 minutes, go back and listen to the show over. It'll be archived, so people will be able to hear this show for months to come.
Great.
So just, you can click on the player there. There's a share button, and you can actually get the embed code. Also on the...
That's what I copied.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got it in our website.
What is
the
what does that mean?
It lets you click
Excuse
on it
me?
And play it.
Oh. Yeah, it's just it puts the little player there so they can click on it and play the show. It's archived.
And Raven, I really appreciate you asking
us
because it's just really sweet that you came to some of our rites and you kept us in your mind and then lo, these many years later, we're doing this. So
well, and
that's magic.
you're right next door, so, you know, anything to help a neighbor out, you know. But I do appreciate y'all coming on my show, and I hope you'll return again sometime.
We
Great.
Hope so, too. Blessed be.
Okay.
Blessed be.
Y'all have a good night. And we're getting ready to go out here, so I guess I'm going to go ahead and close the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Be sure and stop by our website at http.paradigmx.ning.com. I will be in the chat room afterwards, so be sure and come by and say hi. And thank you for listening. Tell all your friends, and we'll see you next Friday night. Same time, same place. Let's go out with a little bit of Ghosts of Whitechapel by Shock Opera. See you next week.